Good morning on this Easter Sunday morning. Beautiful day, beautiful sunrise as we celebrated the coming of our Lord and Savior from the grave. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing it is that Jesus is alive. He's alive and he lives forevermore. And one of these days soon, Jesus is coming back to receive a glorious church, you and me, who believe in him as Lord and Savior. Thank you for joining us today on the webcast. We pray that you already celebrated and will continue to celebrate Jesus as your Lord. Father, we thank you for this day, for every blessing that we have. But most of all, we thank you for your love that you sent your Son to die for us. But Father, we thank you that the death was not the end, but just a momentary pause to a glorious resurrection. And thank you that one day we're going to hear a trumpet blow and Jesus will come back. Oh, Father, we thank you for that promise that he's gone to prepare a place for us and that when he has that place prepared, he will come again and receive us unto ourselves, unto himself, that we might be with him forever. Thank you so much, Lord. Now, Father, during this service, we pray that you'll touch the hearts of each person that's listening in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Easter and April the 4th, 2021. And this morning, as we prepare ourselves for worship via the webcast, we want to recognize our birthdays. Each month, we take time to recognize the birthdays for the month and the anniversaries. So today, for April, we recognize the following and wish the following people happy birthday. Shelby Barbie, April the 19th. Ricky Edwards, April the 21st. Axel Louder, April the 24th. Jason Linker, April the 28th. And to all those people, we say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And we also recognize the anniversaries for the month of April. We have two. Jim and Janice Hopkins on April the 10th, and Tim and Diane Smith, April the 29th. And we wish you all a very, very happy anniversary and congratulations to you. Today, as we focus on our hymn sing, as we normally do, there's a song that was in two songs, as a matter of fact, that are on my mind. And so one, I want to just read you the words to the song, to the first verse and the chorus. This is an old song that we've sang many, many years. It just simply says, he lives, and indeed we do serve a risen Savior. Listen to the words. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives within my heart. Amen. Amen. We want to sing in our hymn sing this morning one of our best Gaither songs that we sing. Please sing along with us as we sing Because He Lives. Thank you. chorus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth I have some announcements for you this morning. I want to let you know that next Sunday, April the 11th, is an important date. Everybody be here, because we're going back into the open sanctuary. We're going to open our services again, and it's also going to include our children's church, and we're going to be able to have all the children back and into their church and working together with them. So all the leaders will be ready to go, and so let's be here, everyone, on the 11th for open sanctuary services again. Our Annie Armstrong offering is now $515, and then we have this week for Easter. So let's please have a great Easter offering. Our quarterly conference is going to be April the 18th. We have a lot of business to go over, as we've not been able to do conferences because we haven't been in the sanctuary. So we are going to be able to have a lot to share with you. So please come and be a part of that. As you look at the pastor's newsletter, he's challenging us as we come back together that we have some responsibilities too. And that is, we need to make sure, first, that we pray for the services. And then number two, that we invite somebody. There might be somebody that has got kind of used to not coming to church over this in the last year, but let's make sure that we invite someone to come along, okay? And do that. All right. And that's all the announcements I have for today, for April the 4th. I want to turn our attention now to our prayer list. We just keep remembering Brenda Burris. Brenda's going to be having surgery on April the 20th on her ankle and her foot, and she's going to be out of commission for about 5 or 6 weeks and be having to stay at home. So let's keep her in our prayers, please. Have a praise report for P.J. Swan. We've been praying for her, that's Charlene's mother. We've been praying for her for quite a long time now because of a brain aneurysm. But PJ is now out of intensive care. She's alert and speaking and talking, and praise God for that blessing. Let's keep remembering J. Julius. Continue to pray for him as he is still dealing with the back injury. Pray for our church. Pray for our church and our leadership of the church as we're going back into full sanctuary services next week. The COVID virus still is a problem and continued to be a problem. Let's continue to pray that God was going to get this under control. We have a special prayer request this morning for Luke Radcliffe. Luke is 23 years old, and he had the COVID virus and passed away at 23. Very, very sad situation. Let's pray for that family and the loss. That's all the prayer release I have this morning. So let's pray to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful Easter day. And what a beautiful sunrise, Lord, we had this morning. And Lord, it reminds us all, we serve a risen Savior. And I do thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for life. Thank you for eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for the life that you gave, that life, unselfish given of your life, that we may have life abundantly. And Lord, as we thank you for the blessings, we'll be very, very quickly, Lord, to know that we have so many that we can't list them, but we thank you for them. And now, Lord, as we look down at the prayer list this morning, we want to remember some people specifically. Let's continue to pray, Lord. We pray for Brenda Burris, Lord. We lift her up to you, Lord, as she's nearing surgery time. We thank you, Lord, and pray for Jay Julius, Lord, and we lift him up to you as he continues to deal with the back issues. And our praise report this morning, Lord, we're so thankful for the good news that we received of P.J. Swan. And also now, Lord, as we face and think about going back into our church and in the sanctuary services, Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for our Barbers Grove Baptist Church. We pray for the entire membership. We pray, Lord, for the leaders. And then, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the visitors. We pray and lift them up to you that someone will be burdened to come back and be with us, Lord, and we welcome them when they do. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for the blessings that you have already in store for our church, if we will be willing and be willing servants for you. So Lord, I continue to pray, Lord, for this world and the nation that we continue to battle with this COVID virus. Lord, I pray, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, that soon, Lord, that you will demonstrate your power to the world and get this virus under control. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that all the blessings that we're praying for today, Lord, we lift them up, Lord, in your name, and we thank you, Lord, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, for our song of praise, we're going to ask Kathy to sing for us a beautiful song, and as it talks about a wonderful, merciful Savior. Listen as Kathy sings for you on this Easter day, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Thank you.
Thought about since I made those opening statements, we really miss that fellowship that we usually have with the Easter breakfast, and the food's good and the fellowship's great, and we're going to miss that. But you know, I bet if some of you ask Leonard and Jeff and some of those other cooks real nicely, they'll do it later. It might be in May, it might be in June, but I believe if you'll ask them really, really nicely, they might do it for us later. You know, this weekend, as we celebrate Easter, it's the most important, really most important weekend in all of human history. Because what took place on the cross, what Jesus did for us there, means more than anything else that'll ever happen. What happened there, our faith in it, our belief in it, our acceptance of it, makes all the difference. It determines how we're going to live our life here, and it determines where we're going to spend eternity. It begins with an arrest, goes to a cross, comes out with a resurrection. And this morning I want us to look at the arrest and the resurrection from John 18 and John 20. And we'll start off in John 18 and read the first 14 verses. And then I want us to make a few comments based on some things that I've been studying. John 18, Gospel of John, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken those words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as they had said unto him, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asking them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of which them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now in verse 3 it says that Judas had a band of men and also officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. Historians tell us that he had probably 300 to 600 trained Roman soldiers, along with armed temple guards. So this was quite a mob. And I don't know whether they picked up any other riffraff as they went along, but this was a great mob of people that were coming to arrest Jesus. It was not just half a dozen. It was a big group. And they come, and Jesus goes to them and says, Who are you looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. And in verse 5, Jesus says, I am he. If you notice that he is in italics, which means it's really not in the original Greek. If you think about it, Jesus was making an awesome statement there. Go back to the book of Exodus. Moses encounters Jesus at the burning bush. Encounters God at the burning bush. And God gives him an assignment to go into Egypt and deliver the people. And Moses says, Now wait a minute. Who am I going to tell them sent me? What God am I going to tell them? And God says, I am that I am. I am. And from that time on, I am became the God of Israel. It was the sacred name of God. Yahweh or Yahweh, depending on which Hebrew person pronounces it. The ancient Jews wouldn't pronounce it at all and transliterated it Jehovah. Jehovah. So when Jesus said, I am, to the question, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. He was making the bold statement that he was the God of Israel. He was not just a resident, ordinary person from Nazareth. He was Almighty God. Notice something else that's very interesting about that. In verse 6, it says, as soon as he said that unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. It's just like you've been through a place where a tornado went through and just leveled a group of trees. That's the picture here. Hundreds and hundreds of soldiers, temple guards, and all of a sudden they're flat on their backs, stunned, dazed, knocked out. The Apostle Peter many times said and did some very rash things, and I've always wondered what possessed him to pull out a sword and think he could win. You remember on another occasion they said, well, how many swords do we have? And they said, 2. So Peter pulled out his sword, and I guess he's hoping the other guy pulls out his. But how in the world did Peter think he was going to win against hundreds of soldiers? Unless he thought, well, hey, they're all flat on their backs, dazed and stunned. We'll kill them all before they wake up. That's the only logical explanation. Jesus said, I am, and it knocked them flat. The power of God knocked these guys flat. Trained military men flat on their backs. I think that's also the explanation where in verse 8 where Jesus said, let these other folks go, these other disciples. I mean, after all, of course, the story about Peter's with the swords a little bit later, but Peter committed attempted murder. They had every reason to put him on a cross. But Jesus was so powerful, and all of us, and these guys realized it. I mean, you're flat on your back when Jesus just spoke a word. And Jesus said, how about letting these other guys go? Yes, sir. Anything you want, sir. Yes, sir. I think at that point, those soldiers realized Jesus is in absolute control of this situation. They may have had spears and swords and clubs and all kinds of things, but Jesus was the one that was in control. It's an established truth that they couldn't do anything without Jesus agreeing to it. The whole picture is they've come with power, but compared to the power that Jesus had, they had no power. But then he went willingly. He allowed them to bind him, tie him up, take him. And once they began to realize that he is going willingly, they began the abuse, the crown of thorns, the beating, and eventually the crucifixion and that mock trial that came before that. But he went willingly, totally willingly. All of it for you and me. He didn't have to. He went willingly. You know, in another scripture, Jesus says, don't you know I could have called 12 legions of angels? And they'd set me free. The best Greek scholar I know says that a legion was 6,000. So that'd be 72,000 angels. Now remember, it only took one death angel to go through Egypt and kill all the firstborn. One angel to deal with 185,000 of Sennacherib's troops in the Old Testament. Well, what would 72,000 warrior angels be able to accomplish? Anything they wanted to. Anything Jesus told them to. The whole deal here is that God so loved that he sent his son and that Jesus so loved that he was willing to die for us to take your place and my place. As Brenda played a moment ago, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I want somebody to sing that at my funeral. I hope it's another 25 years, but because all to him we owe. He did pay it all. That's God's love for us. The wonderful, wonderful good news of Easter is that God so loved. And you may be in a place in your life where you wonder, who cares about me? God does. He loves you. You may think, well, I've done too much. Too many bad things. No, God loves you. God loves you. You may think, well, I'm not worthy. Well, nobody's worthy, but he still loves us. That prodigal son wasn't welcome, was not worthy to come back to his father's house, but he was welcome. You may have been a born again Christian living for the Lord, and you may have backslidden as far as you can go. God will take you back because he loves you. The whole thing about this situation is that Jesus was in control and he loved us enough to die for us. But that's just the first part of the story. The next part of the story is the resurrection. That's over in chapter 20 of John. And notice as we read some of these verses how puzzled the disciples and Mary and the other women were, what it took for them to believe. And the resurrection was such a marvelous thing. You know, it says, Jesus says, he was resurrected and he had the keys of the kingdom. The keys of power. The keys of hell and death. He had the keys of everything. You know, the person with the keys is the one in authority. You go over here to the local jail. The inmates don't have the keys. The jailer does. Jesus is the one with authority. When he got ready to send the disciples out, as we read in the end of Mark and the end of Matthew, he says, all power is given unto me. He doesn't say, all the power except what the devil has is given unto me. Or all the power that the devil will let me have. He says, all power is given unto me. And I don't know how it was that morning, resurrection morning, but somehow or another I picture this. My youngest brother, Roger, played football in high school, played some in college, and he was so strong. It was just incredible how strong he was. And sometimes we'd get together family dinner, and all the little nieces and nephews would grab around Roger's legs and try to tackle him or something, you know, and there'd be 5, 6, 7, 8 hanging on him. He'd just walk off like it wasn't anything. I just wonder if on resurrection morning, Easter morning, a bunch of devils didn't grab around the feet of Jesus and say, we're not going to let you out of hell. And Jesus just shook them off like they were nothing and rose victorious. Rose victorious. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the 20th chapter of John, Mary Magdalene came early, verse 1, it was early, it was yet dark, and she saw the stone taken from the sepulcher. And she ran and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher and we know not where they have laid him. She didn't understand. She thought somebody had come and stolen the body of Jesus. And then Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and they ran together, and they came, and Peter, they looked down, and they saw the linen clothes, and but they didn't go in, but Peter ran in verse 6. And they just didn't understand. They just didn't understand. But then what happens? Verse 14. And when Mary, when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What happened? Mary had an encounter with the risen Jesus, and it changed her perspective. Now, go on down to verse 19. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, because of fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now what changed them? A personal encounter with Jesus, knowing that he was alive. It's not in John, but it's in Luke, you know, the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes along, and they began to wonder, well, you haven't heard the story that Jesus is supposedly resurrected, and he goes through the scriptures and explains it to them, and then after they sit down in a meal and they realize this is really Jesus, they were changed. And then the one that's so familiar to us, starting in verse 24 of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in his print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now see, Thomas, we frown at Thomas, but at the same time, Mary didn't believe till she had an experience with the risen Christ. The other disciples had an empty tomb and sort of shook them up, but they didn't believe till they saw the risen Jesus. And here's Thomas. He's having trouble dealing with it himself because he has not yet seen the risen Jesus in the flesh. Then after 8 days came his disciples, and Thomas was with them, and then cometh Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then to prove that he knew what Thomas had been thinking all along, he said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Do you reckon Thomas said, no, Lord, I don't have to come all the way over and just stick my finger in. And Jesus probably said, "Thomas, you wanted to do it, come do it." But Thomas then says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas had an encounter with the risen Christ. Now, verse 29 is where you and I get involved. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. Now, over the years, I've read about a number of people that had an encounter with the risen Christ. Most of us have not. I've been in a service where somebody said, I saw Jesus walk down the aisle. Well, I didn't see him. I don't mean they didn't see him. I just didn't see him. But by faith, we receive Jesus Christ as the risen Lord, based upon what the Scripture tells us. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus can be real to us. He really can be real to us. Now this morning, if you're listening to me and you just accept Jesus as a teaching of the Christian church, you've missed the point. If you just accept it as something that Christians believe, you've missed the point. Because Jesus is just as alive this morning as anybody else that you know of. The people sitting around you, the people that you see out on driving by in their cars down your street. Jesus is just as alive as they are today. And you can, by faith, put your trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection, and he can be just as real to you as he was to those original disciples 2,000 years ago. And that's what we all need, an experience with the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus. As I'm speaking today, we're in perilous times. The coronavirus has people scared, troubled. Things that are going on in the medical field, in the financial field, in educational field, everything going on has people scared. But we as Christians don't need to be afraid. Think about a story there near the end of the book of Acts. Paul is a prisoner. They're taking him to Rome for trial. He tells them, says, guys, this trip you're about to take in the ocean is not real smart. We ain't going to be in trouble if you go. Well, who's Paul? He's a preacher. He doesn't know anything about sailing. So they load up the boat, and the next thing you know, they're in what we would, I guess today, would call a hurricane. And for 14 days, they're back and forth across the sea. They throw everything out they can throw out. It looks like they're going to die. And Paul calls them all together on the deck, and he says, hey, guys, be of good cheer. What do you mean, be of good cheer? We're going to die. We're going to drown. What do you mean, be of good cheer? He said, my risen Christ sent one of his angels to me last night, and we're all going to be safe. You see, that's where we need to understand this morning, that the risen Christ makes the difference. Go back even further. Those disciples, most of them trained fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. And they came up a storm they couldn't deal with. But Jesus was in the boat. And when they woke him up, Jesus dealt with the storm. And though there may be a storm, when Jesus is in your life, makes all the difference. One of those special songs, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He lives, You know, Jesus is alive this morning. He's alive and he loves you. And I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're listening to me this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his arms are outstretched saying, come unto me and I will give you eternal life. It's as simple as saying, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, died for my sin. I believe that he rose again and that he's coming again to receive those who choose him as their Lord and Savior. And if you'll pray a prayer like that, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died and that you rose again, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved. And if you do that, would you call someone at our church or at another church and let them know that you've made the greatest decision in your life, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. May you this Easter day have an encounter, whether it's the first encounter or the 100,000th encounter with the risen Jesus, and rejoice in his living presence today. May we pray. Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that when you could have, through your power, just wiped out that crowd, gone on back to heaven and left us in our misery, you chose to die for us. And I thank you that you're so alive today, that you live in us, live with us, live through us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're preparing a place for us. I thank you that perhaps very soon there's going to be a trumpet blast, and we which are alive shall follow those who rise from their graves, and so we'll ever be with you. Thank you, Father, for that glad reunion. In the name of our precious, loving Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.